حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد First of all, I would congratulate the Imam of our time on the birth of his father, Imam Hasan al-Askari, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then all of you mu'mineen and mu'minat, and may Allah make this occasion a means of rejoicing and a means of peace and harmony for your hearts, and bless you and accept your du'as on behalf of this imam. This imam that we are remembering today, obviously a few words regarding him so that we can learn something from his life and put that into our life. He was born in Medina and he lived for a short time of 28 years. He died in Samarra. His father is the 10th Imam, Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salatu wassalam. And the name of his mother is Sulayla. She was a servant that the Imam had, whom he married. And regarding her, we also have a lot of hadith regarding her. One of the facts about her, just to explain, you know, who she was and who was the mother of the Imam, so that we understand that even those who were the mothers of the Imam, even though they were unknown because they didn't come from big families or big names, but the people that the Imams married to have the Imams as their children were special people. Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam was asked about his mother, right? And the fact is that he said that it is enough for you to know that just like Hussein had appointed Zainab to take over the role of Imamat until Imam Zainul Abidin is able to do so, just like that my father had appointed my mother Sulayla to take over the roles of Imamat until I was able to take over it. For her to be even compared to Hazrat Zainab shows her maqam and the honor and the character that she had. That she was a guardian of the secrets of Imamat. And this was the mother of Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. Now, obviously, the fact about our 11th Imam is that not much is known about him because of the fact that when the rulers of the time, the Abbasi rulers of the time, seeing what happened with Imam Ali Radha alayhi salam, who was who had been made the successor of Mamun, and because of that, his name became so well known and popular, and he became so famous. You know, the fact that the Imams, if just left alone themselves, they had the character and the illumination of knowledge that it would be easy for them to be known by the masses of the people because people will look at them as being special, just knowing them. The fact that their light had to be hidden away from the people by these khulafa. They knew that if let go, they are going to enchant the people and the people will start loving them because they are worthy of love and respect and honor. So in that case, you see that when, and this is one of the reasons why Imam Radha al-Islam accepted the Wali Ahdi of Mamun al-Rashid. There are some people who say, well, why did he accept being a successor of a Dhalim? One of those reasons, obviously he was forced to, that was the real reason, he was forced to. But even then, after that, he had accepted it knowing that because of that position, it will make him so famous that the khulafa who are after that will be afraid to do anything openly and directly to his descendants. They knew that there will be that fear that, hey, you know what, these are well-known people, you just can't go up to them and kill them. Right? They're not like normal people anymore. And you see that's what happened. After Imam Radha became the successor and what happened after that, you see, just if you look at what happened post-Imam Radha as opposed to pre-Imam Radha, you will see in the era that was right before Imam Radha, you see the body of Imam Musa Kazim alayhis salam lying on the bridge of Baghdad. Our seventh Imam's body was lying on the bridge of Baghdad for people to see. That's how he was dealt with. But because of Imam Radha's position and the popularity that he had gained amongst the masses of the people, after that you see that this sort of behavior was never dealt out, dished out to any of the Imams after him. Because they knew that it now they were so well known that it was very hard for them to do anything to them. This is why you see Imam Radha chose to have that position so that he can make a way that what happened to his father will never happen to his children again. You see, this is the wisdom of the Imams when you look at why they do the things they do. And hence you see after Imam Radha, all his sons, all the Imams afterwards were known by his name. They were known as Yabna Radha. Right? Yabna Radha. And here you see that Imam, our 11th Imam also, the short time that he spent in Samarra, even though he was hidden from the people there, the idea behind Samarra and making Samarra was so that they can get the official part of the government away from the people and have it in a place where they can do things secretly and those secrets would not leak out. One of those things that they wanted to do is that they wanted to bring the Imam or whoever the Imam is to Samarra because Samarra is a place that was known for as an army camp. It was an army camp. The only people who would go to Samarra are officials. Army officials or those officials that belong to the government. Average people wouldn't go to Samarra. It wasn't a place for them to go. It was just an official place. And hence you see that Imam, our 10th Imam, was forced to go to Samarra so that the people do not meet him and he would not meet the people. And that place of Samarra was inhabited by army people that were bought from Azerbaijan and those Russian areas that the Muslims had recently conquered, so that they would not know anyone amongst the Arabs and they wouldn't have any interest in them also. And the Arabs won't have any interest in them. So when the Imams are kept in such a place, no one would know who they are, where they are, why they're here. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't have that relationship to them. And this is why he was brought over there. And in those days that he was brought there, you see that he was making sure that the identity of the Imam after him is protected. Imam Hasan Askari al-Islam for a long time was hidden by the Imam from the people. Very few of the Shias ever met Imam Hasan Askari while he was with his father. Very few of them met him. He was being hidden. He was being guarded by the Imam, by Imam Naqi alayhi salam. He was really being guarded so that no one knows him. Because the fact was known amongst the people through hadith, through history, through traditions. It was known that the 11th one, his name will be Hassan. And that his son will be the Mahdi. And they knew that if he has a son, and this will be the door or the opening to the way of the 12th Imam, who was promised by the Prophet that he will rule the world. So the rulers obviously didn't want to see that happen. They didn't want to lose their rule. They were afraid of that. And that's why they wanted to make sure that that person does not exist. But the Shias who did meet him, they say that they asked Imam Hadi alayhi salam that who is your successor? And the Imam said that this is the successor. He said, what is his name? The Imam said, on the order of the Prophet had ordered me to name him Hassan. To name him Hassan. And this name of Hassan, right, and his kunya is Abu Muhammad. Now, obviously, when you look at the Imams themselves, there are only two Imams whose name is Hassan. One is the second Imam, and the other is the 11th Imam. And both of them, Imam Hassan, who is the second Imam, and Imam Hasan Askari, have the same kunya also, Abu Muhammad. Both of them have the same kunya. And both of them, their father's name is the same, Ali. Right? So one is Hassan ibn Ali Abu Muhammad, the other also is Hassan ibn Ali Abu Muhammad. Right, and this is not a coincidence. This was a planning behind this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring this out. But, you know, inshallah, we'll keep that for later. But right now, the act was that when he came about, he said that the Prophet had asked him to keep his name Hassan. Because in one of the hadiths we have, right, and there are many hadiths regarding this, from the Prophet himself, he had said that my 11th one will be Hassan, and the father of the Mahdi, his name would be Hassan. And because of that, you see that the Imam kept him named Hassan, so that now when his name was Hassan, everyone would know that this is the one. That this is the one, and he was being hidden from the other people on one hand. Now as he grew up, then he was slowly being introduced to the people. Slowly being introduced, not to everyone also. And you need to recognize the situation of the Imams at that time. And we are able to compare it to our situation where we live. A lot of times you see, speaking out everything is not the wisest thing to do. Saying where, what, how you stand, where you stand, every opening up yourself is not always the wisest thing to do, especially in a place where you are surrounded by those people who do not have iman or respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those things that should be said that are necessary to be heard, only those things should be said. If you look in the time of after Ashura, events after Ashura, one of the things that you will see that when this Abdurrahman ibn Malik, when he became the ruler, one of the things that he said, one of the things that he did, is that he said that, all right, you know what? We will allow everyone to any subject have, I'm ready to ruler. When he was I'm ready to listen. To speak. He said, well, we like this, and everyone started the points where everything, there were points. But to know everyone stand, God had who's out. Why? Because free the wisest. Marwan used that. He get the information from the people as much as he can, so now he knows where you stand. Now he knows that, okay, these are the people to kill. Go and kill them. And Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he went on this massacring trail. And he, now, the same thing you see in the time of Naskari, his father never allowed any Imam Hassan, not allowed to know that. Yeah, thinking about what's the right thing to do, you feel what is the right thing to do. Right? You don't always go on. You have to go on thinking and understanding what is right. written by the grew up, he went to jail. So one, he was under house arrest for half his life, and the other half of his life he was in jail. He was in jail and he was hidden away from the people now, and no one would know where he is. And now the issue was that the last imam has to be born out of him. If he's in jail, then it's not easy to have children there when you don't have a wife there. And a wife at all. So this is the reason why you see that it happened, that when the imam was in jail, to Allah he had to reveal the imam and give him the opportunity to do his mission. And so Allah, he made a drought happen. Muslims went drought. No water, no rain. No rain at all. Complete abandonment of water. 3 years they went through drought. To the extent that everything was dried up. Everything was dried up. So much that the people, for 3 years, they made prayers of istisqa, of rain. 3 years, no answer. The situation had become such that everyone understood that no one's prayer and dua is being answered by Allah. I mean, it was a situation that the whole ummah was put through, this trial. 3 years. I mean, can you imagine that? 3 years of nothing. One year you're able to survive because what you have left over in your storage. The next year when the drought happens, you're expecting there's going to be rain, but nothing happens, then you're really in trouble. And then the third year also, no rain. And now the people were desperate. Friends, the people were desperate. Understand this, my friends. The lack of food in the world is not because of the lack of growth of products, but it is the misdistribution of the products that are grown. You see, hunger in the world, why does hunger? Hunger doesn't happen because things are not growing. No, Allah has kept enough places and has made enough growth to feed every person in the world. The reason why you see people are going through hunger in the world is because of the wrong distribution of those things that are grown in the world. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, Salawat alhamdulillah, that if you see someone having excess and much and abundance, it means that the rights of other people are taken by him. If you have plenty, then that there is the right of others that plenty belongs to, that you are not going to use and you'll have to throw away because you can only use a limited amount. Allah has only kept that stomach of yours so little. You know, you can't eat more than that. Even if you have a room full of food, you can't eat more than that. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to throw it away. You see, if you have excess, it means that this is the right of others. This is why you see it's the wrong distribution of food that causes world hunger, not the lack of growth. Allah has made enough growth in the world and enough produce in the world to feed everyone. Everyone has the right. It's the distribution that is the reason for hunger. So now, when this happened, and people were desperate. They had no food. Now they ran out of food. There's nothing growing. They became desperate. What should we do? And in those situations, my friends, understand. In those situations when people become desperate, they tend to cling to the wrong things if their faith is not strong and based on evidence. If your iman is weak, you cling to wrong things. You know, you're making dua, for example. You know, like say you don't have a child. You're making dua all the time. It's not working. You don't have a child. So you say, well, you know, since the dua is not working, let's go to this Baba in India, you know, and see if he can do something for us. Right? What does that mean? That Allah couldn't do it? So you're going there? You see, when people don't have iman, when people don't have the right aqidah, this is what ends up happening. They hold on to wrong things. They go towards wrong things because they're desperate. And in that desperation, even the wrong seems right. This is for those people who are weak in faith, whose faith is not based on evidence and strong proofs. So now what happened is that they went, they were looking around now for something to believe in. And this was the time when a Christian came forward, a Christian monk came forward, and he said, I will make it rain for you all. I will make it rain. Right? And they said, all right, all right, go ahead, if you can do it, you're the man, we will believe in you. Right? So what happened? Why? Because of the fact that they were desperate, my friend. Instead of understanding that, no, if Allah is not sending rain, there's a reason for it. And Allah's reason was in jail. Isn't that Allah was not sending rain, was in jail. He wanted that light of His out in the world amongst the people. He wanted that to be shown to the world. That was His reason. And they never understood that reason. They were thinking that Allah is angry with us. So, well, if Allah is angry, let's look for another God. Let's go somewhere else. Who will not be angry with us? Right? So they went and, he came there and he said, I will make it rain. And so he prayed and it rained. And now the people really like, wow, this is amazing. 3 years we prayed. All the Muslims prayed, no answer. And this guy prayed once and there's rain. And right away you see the faith of the people started to shake. The faith of the people, there was, complete earthquake in the faith of the people. It was tremblings. And everyone was like, what should we do now? He proved us wrong. He proved Islam wrong. Right, not just us, Islam. And we equate ourselves to Islam. If you were proven wrong, something wrong with you. Why are you blaming it on Islam? But you see, they were trembling. Their faith was trembling. Their iman was trembling. And it's at that time when the news went around to see who can do something to save Islam. The ruler of that time, Mu'tamid Abbasi, he was also shaking. He said, what's going on here? Because his rule is based on Islam. If Islam goes, his rule is finished. He's like, what should we do now? He said, Yabna Rasulullah, get him out. Where is Yabna Raza? Get him out. He might know an answer. They came to Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam in jail. Salawat alayhi. My friends, understand this, right? When the ummah was being divided, when the ummah was in sects, when the ummah was dispersed, they came where? To the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. Now you see, one of the sayings of Imam Hassan Askari, we need to learn also as I speak. He was asked about the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. He said, do you know this sentence? Man kuntu maula fahada aliyun maula. You know what that means? He said, well, it means that Ali is the wali. He says, but more than that, do you know what it means? Why Allah wanted this to be said by all believers? He says, why is that? He said that Allah, whenever the ummah disperses and goes and divides itself, then the only way that the ummah can be united is through the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. Meaning the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt is the source of unity of the ummah. If you want unity among in the ummah, then the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt has to be the joining, the glue that puts it together, my friends. If the wilayat is taken, there is no unity. It will always keep dividing itself. So do not say that the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt is dividing the ummah. No, it was made to join the ummah. It was made to join the ummah. And hence you see now when the trouble came on the ummah and everyone was afraid, then they came to our imam. The imam was brought out with respect. Right. He comes from jail. No one knows him. He's been hidden away from people his whole life. The people have not seen who he is. They don't know him. Can you imagine that? No one knows him. He comes out. And, you know, everyone's like, you know, what's going to happen? He says, you know, have a gathering in the desert. Get everyone out there in the desert, he told them. So everyone was in the desert. And that guy also, the Christian. And everyone else was with him and all his henchmen, all these things. He came out. And everyone was there. Imam came out. No one could recognize who was this guy. Who's, you know. And the news was out that, you know, the son of the prophet, the son of Radha is going to come over here and he's going to prove him wrong. So now everyone's looking around for who's the son of Radha? Who's the son of Radha? They're thinking that he's wearing some nice robes and he's going to come on this big mounted horse and everything, you know, and they see someone, you know, that is just wearing simple clothes, walking barefoot, and he comes there. And everyone's like, this is Ibn Raza. Who that? Just imagine that. Everyone, right? This is what's happening here. Allah is revealing Imam Hasan Askari to the world. He is now wanting everyone to know that this is where the imamate lies. This is what you need to see in the truth. Now everyone is looking at him and they're like, okay, this is the one. You see, that hype was made. The rumors had made the hype. Now the imam comes forward. And then he says, make dua to the Christian. Go ahead, do what you're doing. And, you know, the monk over there, you know, he starts his routine, you know, this and that to hype up it up, you know, and all these things, you know. And the cloud started to come. The cloud started to gather. The imam said, hold on 1 minute. He asked the men to go and to see what's inside his pockets. They went there to search his pocket and they found a bone. A bone. Imam asked him to bring that here. And after it was brought here, then he told the Christian monk, go ahead, now do it. Now the Christian monk is sweating. What do you want me to do? Ask for the rain. Like looking around at everyone, knowing that it was the bone and not him that was bringing about the rain. And he was stuck. He didn't know what to do. And now he started to pray. He started praying. It didn't work. He started dancing. It didn't work. He did everything he could to make the crowds come down. Nothing worked. And after all of that, then he gave up. And everyone was shocked. Why can't you do it now? The imam then said, the reason that the rain was coming down, that the clouds were sending the rain, is not because of this character. It was because that this bone belonged to a prophet that he stole from a grave. And the clouds, they look at the prophet and they listen to what the prophet has to say because they are told to listen to that. And so it rained. And when they heard that, everyone was shocked. They knew for 3 years it didn't rain. This Christian who brought that also was because of the prophet. Now he says, now who's going to bring the rain? And you know the reason why Imam Hasan Askari said that, you see, only a prophet, someone who is appointed by Allah, can call for the clouds to rain, and the clouds will rain. The clouds will rain. So now everyone said, what should we do now? He says, do not worry. I will call the clouds to rain. And now the imam turned his hands towards the sky. Those clouds that were waiting for 3 years to see their imam, they looked down at the earth and they say, for 3 years we have been waiting for this. Holding back our rain and mercy for 3 years, when the imam raised his hands, those clouds, as if in a race, they came towards the imam and they brought the rain there. Salawat alhamdulillah. And obviously the imam said, stop until the people go back home. You know, he doesn't want them to drown in the rain. He said, stop. They saw it. Now what is the imam explaining here? He said, this was an introduction to the imam, my friends. What was it saying? That this imam has just explained the bone belongs to a prophet. Only someone appointed by Allah can bring down the rain, make the clouds listen to them. So if the imam has done it, it means that he was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what was the hujjat for the people, and Allah wanted that hujjat to happen so that the respect and honor that the imam will have will give him the freedom now and the opportunity to go and fulfill the message of bringing the 12th imam into existence. And that's why you see the imam was revealed by that. My friends, if Allah makes things go through hardships, if he makes people go through hardships, if he makes the ummah go through hardship, if any calamity comes on the world, there is a hidden reason behind this. Just like the imam was kept hidden in jail, and Allah wanted him to be known, so he made the people go through a drought. You will see every calamity that the world is going today is only to bring that one hidden imam out so he can be exposed to the world. That's the reason why all this is happening. So that one imam who has iman in Allah. Allah doesn't care about life. Allah doesn't care about people. Allah doesn't care about these things. He cares about iman. Who has that iman? It is Imam Zamana who's going to bring that iman back into this world. This is what's more important. And that's why you see everything is living for him so that he can come back. Everything is existing for him. You know, the only difference is that we, mu'mineen, are living for him with our own choice while everything else is living for him without choice. That's the difference. We are making a choice that we want to live for him. And the kuffar, they made no choice like that. But Allah is making them live for the imam and do everything that they do so that the imam can come back. This, my friends, is the difference. And that's why we as mu'mineen should now take this opportunity of the birth of Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. And make a resolution that imam, you brought the imam, our imam into existence. You have given us him. Let us give us the chance so that we can be his protectors and defenders. That we can be around him and that we can be his helpers and his aid when he comes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths, the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir ad-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Salawat.
أفضل الصلاة محمد وآل محمد صلاة الله سلام الله على طه رسول الله Salatu wa salamun la ala taha rasulillah Salatu wa salamun la ala yasin habibillah Salatu wa salamun la ala taha rasulillah Salatu wa salamun la ala yasin habibillah Salatu wa salamun la ala taha rasulillah Salatu wa salamun la ala yasin habibillah Salatu wa ala taha rasulillah salatullah salamullah ala yasin tawassalna bi bismillah wa bil hadi rasulillah wa kulli mujahidillah bi ahalil badriyallah salatullah salamullah ala rasulillah salatullah salamullah ala ilahi salliminumma من الآفات والنقمة ومن هم ومن غمة بأهل البدر يا الله صلاة الله سلام الله على طه رسول الله صلاة الله سلام الله على ياسين حبيب الله على ياسين حبيب الله أفضل الصلاة Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad Ya Rakiban Nahwal Madinati Kasida Wa kulli salamun alayka ya alam al-huda بالغ سلامي لنبي محمد يا محمد يا بلقاسم جاد الحسنين Ahmad ya Muhammad Afzalus Salat Imamon ki ziyarat naseeb kar khuda ho mohta jo ki jald hajat rawa jo bimar ho jald paave shifa hue aaj paida imame asgari muhibo mubarak hai shukr e khuda hue aaj paida imame asgari musafir fire jald behre ali rahe shad khurm shiyane ali ho zahir ab jal imame zama hue aaj paida imame asgari muhibbo mubarak हुए आज पैदा इमाम अस्करी इलाही बबीमार दाश्ते जो बीमार हो जल्द पावे शफा इलाही बराए इमामे लेमार कियामत को मशार हो उठे कब्र से हे पाचवना मिलता दासान अहमद वाली जहरा वासान शबे रसले थाइमा में जमान शबे रसले थाइमा में जमान एक एक पे सदा सलावात परो सलावात सलावात पे उस तेनी साए जो नबी बुलंद सिफात हुए सलावात सलावात तो सलाम या इमामे जमान फरमाओ जुहूर
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لي وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة النساء العالمين السلام عليك يا حسن المجتبى السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام عبدا ما بقيت وبكي الليل والنهار وعلى جعل الله الآخر الأحد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين وعلى أخيك العباس وأختك زينب وبنتك سكينة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا صاحب العصر والزمان سيدي يا لمان لمان لمان. السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن، السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليك يا كعبة الإيمان، السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان. أجل الله فرجك وسهل الله مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته.